Hi there. Welcome to C3 Church Hong Kong podcast. We are praying that this message will bless you and help you live your best life. For more information about us, check out our website, c3church.hk. Enjoy the message and God bless.
Today we're looking at what's called the parable of the unmerciful servant. And Jesus is teaching his disciples on forgiveness. And the parable is all about why I must forgive. Such an important parable. It could be, in one context, the most important message you may ever hear. And because of that, I just need to pray because it's such a significant message. Lord God, such an important message that you are teaching your disciples. And even though you taught it 2,000 or so years ago, it's such an important message for us today. It's so relevant today because we're living in a world where there is so much trouble and everyone has been hurt, everyone has been harmed, everyone has been mistreated, everyone has been offended in some way or another. And Lord, it's so easy in this day and age to carry unforgiveness in our spirit. So Lord, I just pray that today we'll have ears that will just listen. I pray that we won't be distracted. I pray that we'll turn our phones off and for the next 25 to 30 minutes, just listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, some of you weren't even born, but back in 1981, I think I was just born, not. But in 1981, there was an assassination attempt of the Pope, and this Pope was shot several times by this shooter. And fortunately, the Pope didn't die. The shooter was caught, and he was imprisoned. Then a few years later, the Pope publicly pardoned and forgave the shooter. And it caught the world's attention. Time magazine, it'll come up on the screen, asked this very important question, why forgive? Why do we need to forgive? And it's such a good question. Such a good question. Peter asked a somewhat similar question to Jesus, not directly, why do we forgive or why must I forgive? But he asked this in Matthew 18:21, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? What, up to seven times? Now, each and every one of us has got something about our nature that, you know, we have this irregular issue about us that irritates other people. Husbands, there is something about you that irritates your wife. Just ask Mary. There is. Ladies, there's something about you that can just irritate husbands. Friends, people, there is. Boyfriends, girlfriends, everyone, each and every one of us has something about us that irritates. Some of us more than others. I actually think I'm one of those people that I've got more of those irregular issues that can really irritate people. Mary had to be the most gracious, patient, almost a Mother Teresa saint, just to put up with me, because I think I'm good. It doesn't matter what I think, does it? It's what other people think. It's what the person I'm married to thinks. And, you know, but I can be easily irritated also, and all my staff know that. But, you know, I go to a gym, and, you know, I work out just a little bit, and once it starts to hurt, that's when I stop. But the gym I go to, oh, there's this guy there that irritates me so much because he comes in, he goes onto the treadmill, and he's running, and most people just, you know, run, and this guy's like, he's trying to sprint, like he's in a hunt, he's trying to beat Usain Bolt, and he's on this treadmill, but every 10 seconds, and I'm not stretching the truth or lying, like on some of the other stories I might tell, but this one is true, and every 10 seconds he has this habitual cough, so he's running, And I'm on the exercise bike in front of him, and every 10 seconds I hear this. and so after 30 minutes, I've heard this cough, do the math, hundreds and hundreds of times, and oh, and it's like the Lord has sent him to test my patience. I don't know, but what irritates you? Who irritates you? And if they're sitting next to you, you keep looking straight ahead. Keep looking at me. Don't look to the left or right. But Peter asks, how many times shall I forgive my brother? Now, the word brother there, it indicates we're talking about someone who you are close to. It could be a family member. It could be someone you're married to. It could be a very close friend. It could be another person sitting in this church right now, but they're on the other side. You've come in, you've looked where they're sitting, and you thought, I'm going to sit over here. They're near the front, I'm going to go near the back. Peter asks, how many times? And Peter answers his own question. If he was wearing pants and, you know, those suspenders, what are they called? Suspenders. Suspenders. He'd be stretching them. He'd have a cigar, you know. He'd be thinking, I'm so good. And he goes, 7 times, Lord. I'm still holding my cigar. Where's an ashtray? But he said 7 times because Jewish custom was you forgave 3 times. So Peter says, I'm going to double it. How good I am. And for good measure, he added 1. So he says 7 times. But look what Jesus says. His response was, no, Peter. He's chewing his gum. No, Peter. 70 times 7. In other words, 490 times, depending on which translation you're reading. And then he teaches this parable, why we must forgive. Matthew 18:23-35. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. So this man owes this king 10,000 bags. Now, 1 bag of gold is 1 talent. You know the parable of the talents. That's the parable of the bags of gold. 1 bag of gold or talent, it's about 35 kilograms of gold. Multiply that by 35 to get your ounces. Multiply that by the spot price of gold, which is about $1,250 per ounce. Then multiply it by 10,000 times, and we're in today's day and age, we're talking about $15 billion of gold. Now, how can this guy ever get to the point where he owes that much? That's irrelevant. The point is, Jesus is saying we're talking about an astronomical amount. It's an amount that is just too great and too big for you to ever repay in 1,000 lifetimes, okay? It's an unimaginable debt. And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell to his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I'll pay back everything. And the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. That's about, in today's day and age, maybe $2,000. Yeah, you might buy you a decent, really nice fine dining restaurant, but compared to $15 billion, it's nothing. And that's the point. It's nothing. If you had been forgiven of not just $15 billion, 15 million, 150,000, how would you feel? You feel, the relief. I'm not going to be carrying this debt for the rest of my life. How would you feel? Look what this guy does. He grabbed his servant and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. Come up here, Shane. This is what he did. This is he literally grabbed him by the neck, and he was choking him. Can you picture that? He's been forgiven of $15 billion. Give me back that little bit of money. Then he says, get down on your knees and beg for me. Come on, beg. No, go back. No. This guy who was forgiven, that's what he does. And when I read that for the very first time, he was grabbing him by the neck and choking him and just letting him beg, but he says no. The servant, it says, but he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he couldn't pay back the debt. And then when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I have had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay it all back. And this is how my heavenly... This is Jesus speaking. This is how my heavenly Father will treat you and each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. This can also be one of the most challenging passages because depending on your ideology and your theology and how you interpret whatever your picture of God is, you can think, he's not going to do that. So we block certain things out of our mind, but we must just accept the word, especially everything Jesus says, and allow the scripture to frame your mind. Is God an absolute God of love? Yes. Is he a God of absolute mercy and kindness? Yes. But he's also a God of justice who hates duplicity. That is, if you've been forgiven for something, he expects you to pass it on. If he's been so generous to you, he expects you to be generous. He doesn't want or like a person who is duplicitous. They can receive something, but they're not going to pay it forward or pass it on. And there are many Christians like that. There are three reasons in this parable why we must forgive. First of all, because I have been forgiven. Because I have been forgiven. Secondly, because unforgiveness or resentment makes me miserable, very miserable. And number three, because I'm going to need forgiveness in the future. And what I want to do, I want to look at those three things. I want to just flesh them out a little bit and look at what God has to say about those three things. First of all, because I have been forgiven. It says, the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. What an awesome king. Forgave $15 billion. No strings attached. He wasn't going to emotionally blackmail that guy. He wasn't going to keep reminding him, well, remember what I did for you. No strings attached. He was forgiven. And $15 billion, that is a lot of money. So much more than what most people in the world will ever, ever earn in 1,000 lifetimes, let alone one. But it's still nothing in comparison to what Jesus has done for you and I. And here is the parallel. Now listen to me. Here's the parallel. The servant owed a debt to the king, and so do you and I to God. Romans 3:23 says, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. That's all of us. Some of us might think, oh, well, I'm not as bad as that. But no. We're all in the same boat. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter how many good things you've done, or you can compare yourself to some other person. It doesn't really matter. We're all in the same boat. Everyone has fallen short. Even Mary, Mother Teresa, the great Mother Teresa, she even falls well short of this impossible standard of holiness that God is. That's who he is. And that he sets. And then Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ. See, death, physical, it's talking about physical and spiritual death. Physical and spiritual death. Physical and spiritual death came into the world through sin. That's how this, before sin came into the world, humanity was going to live forever and ever. But listen, physical death is irrelevant. It's insignificant. It's the spiritual death that is the important thing here, not the physical death. Yeah, we get all upset when loved ones pass away. Yes, and so you should, you know. But spiritual death is the real problem here, because spiritual death can separate you from your heavenly Creator for all eternity, and that was unimaginable to God. So that's why God sends his son Jesus into the world, because he knew humanity is not perfect. You can't save yourself. You can't do it. So God says, I'm going to send my son Jesus Christ. He's going to become a human being. He will live a perfect life. And after 33 years, you're going to crucify him. He's perfect, but you'll crucify him. But he goes to the cross and he pays the price of sin, which is death. He dies. He had to die so that all humanity could be forgiven. That's the good news. That's the gospel right there. And simply, you don't have to do anything to receive Jesus' forgiveness. All you got to do is believe it. Believe him. No good works. Don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. Just believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's called the good news. So this God in love, he sends his son to pay this huge debt on our behalf. And that's the parallel in the story. But let me give you the principle. God forgave my debt and he expects me to do the same for others. And, you know, that $15 billion, it represents something that is, it doesn't matter what someone else might do to you. It's still small in comparison to the debt that God has forgiven you. The debt of sin, you must view it like that $15 billion. It is something that is huge compared to what are some of the worst things another human being could do to you. It is still minor compared to what Jesus has done for you. Now, I want you to just to pretend. Pretend you're that servant and you had that huge debt wiped away. It is you, but I want you to pretend that you're literally that person. How would you feel? You, like I said, you'd feel, I would feel like for the rest of my life, I'm just going to go out and I'm going to be so nice and kind of going to forgive every single person of everything that they've ever could possibly do. But look what this guy does. Come up here, Shane. Look what he does. He finds that servant and he chokes him. He's choking and choking and he demands, pay me back, get down and beg again. And he just does it. He does it many times. Now get back there, you. Get back there. That's what he does. It's incredible. Why do the forgiven refuse to forgive? You've been forgiven, but then you refuse to forgive. You've been pardoned, but you haven't been transformed. That's it. You've been pardoned, but you haven't yet been transformed. Why? In this guy's case, maybe he still felt unforgiven. Maybe he's still trying to find some money so he can at least give something back to the king. Oh, he forgave me a $15 billion. I'm gonna find something. Even if it's just a few hundred silver dollars, I'll at least give something back to the king. And tragically, this is how many Christians still live. They've given their life to Jesus. They've been forgiven. But then they try to repay God through penance by, oh, well, if I do this and I'm that and I'm all these things, I'll make it up to you, Jesus. And they harden themselves and they live by rules and they become very legalistic and they become then very hard on other people. But what you need to understand is God does not want you to repay him. He doesn't want you to repay anything. God doesn't want you to repay him. He just wants you to become like him. That's it. That's it. So that you will then pass it on and you'll be a person who will be forgiving to other people. So this guy, he grabs this servant by the neck and he's choking him and choking him, choking him. And the point about that is this. Whenever you do come across a person that is unforgiving or judgmental or hard or ungrateful, it's usually because that's how they were treated. They were probably raised up in that environment, so they'll just, that's what they're doing. That's how they, that's what they now do. When we feel unforgiven and condemned, we tend to be unforgiving and condemning. But Jesus says in Ephesians 4, well, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, it's Paul who's writing, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. So number one, why must I forgive? Because I have been forgiven. Number two, the second reason why I must forgive is because resentment makes me miserable. Psychologists say that resentment is like torture. You're torturing yourself on the inside, and it doesn't matter wherever you go, you are carrying this. It's like anger. Anger on the inside. Someone's done something to you, so you're mad at them. And you take it everywhere you go, and you can't get rid of it. You know it's there. You can feel it. Oh, so irritating. I'm so mad at that person. And you might put on this nice mask on the outside, but you're carrying this anger on the inside. It's called unforgiveness. And what people do is they have to try and cover it because so they'll spend lots of money on themselves and buy them lots of nice things because that's when they feel really good about it. Or they go on lots and lots of holidays, or other people will try to do it through the accumulation of wealth and money and all that type of stuff. But it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how many possessions you buy. It doesn't matter how many holidays you go on. It doesn't matter how much money you make. You cannot get rid of that resentment and anger on the inside of you. And verse 34 says, in anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back everything he owed. What's Jesus talking about right there? Is it a metaphor of hell and the afterlife? Yes, it is. But it's so much more than that. It's the metaphor of hell and earth right now. Because when you carry unforgiveness around with you, you're going to be tortured on the inside. When unforgiveness grips you, it grips hold of you, it begins to torture you on the inside. Those psychologists, they're right. They've got it right. You become imprisoned to these unforgiving thoughts and memories, and you take them everywhere you go. You might be a young single person. You'll take them into marriage one day, and it will affect your marriage. You'll take them into the workplace, and it will affect your relationships. It will affect your career. It will affect everything. You'll take it into friend. You'll take it into everything you're doing, and it will just ruin everything about your life, and you won't even know why. It's because of all this unforgiveness. Some of it gets deep. It's deep down in your heart, and there's layers and layers and layers of life that becomes hard-pressed, and it will ruin everything in your life. You don't need to be locked up because we do it to ourselves. That's what unforgiveness does. You become imprisoned on the inside. It binds you up. It robs you of joy. It robs you of life. It even robs you of your health. You'll get sick often. There'll be later in life, there'll be sickness and issues. Medical journals today, they call unforgiveness a disease. They actually call it a disease. Proverbs 18:14 talks about a wounded spirit. Pastor Phil has written a book on the wounded spirit, and one of the issues about a wounded spirit is unforgiveness. But in Proverbs 18:14, it says a broken spirit is what brings so many health issues into your life. So unforgiveness, it causes all this inner conflict, and it hurts you more then it hurts other people. Job 21:23 says, some men stay happy until they die. Others, they have no happiness at all. They just live and die with bitter hearts. You know, what bitter memory are you holding on to? What are you carrying through life? What's robbing you of your happiness? Whenever we rehearse it over and over in our memories, it becomes resentment in our heart, and then it grows into something that eventually hurts our relationships. It will destroy your marriages. It will destroy relationships with kids. It'll affect friendships and careers. And what we have to do, we have to learn to ask for forgiveness. And we always have to be offering forgiveness. In fact, be quick to give forgiveness. We have to ask it. Whenever we've wronged someone else, ask for it. But be a person who is quick. You're so quick to offer forgiveness. Why must I forgive? Because number one, I've been forgiven by God. Number two, resentment makes me miserable. And finally, number three, because I will need forgiveness in the future. Jesus says in verse 35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Do you know, each and every one of us, whether you believe in God or not, every person will one day stand before God. And the only thing that enables access into heaven is I've been forgiven. I've received this forgiveness from God. It's got nothing to do with how good you are. You could be, it's nothing at all. You can be the goodest person. But that's not going to get you into heaven. That's not why Jesus went to the cross. This parable explains, it doesn't matter how good you are. Goodness, being good, doesn't get you into heaven. Doesn't matter how much good you've done. You've earned a lot of money and you've given so much money away to all these charities and things. That doesn't get you into heaven. Doesn't even matter how much of the Bible you know. It doesn't even matter if you got the name pastor as your title. That doesn't get you into heaven. There's only one thing that gets you into heaven, and that is you've been forgiven by God. That's what receiving Christ's forgiveness is all about. John Wesley said this, and he was talking about someone in his church had said to him that I could never forgive that brother. So he's talking about a brother in church for what they did to me. And then John Wesley replies, well, I hope you never sin. And what he's saying is this. Well, listen, if you can go through your life where you've never done anything wrong, there's no sin at all, well, you don't really have to worry about forgiving any other person because you're going to be fine. But the Bible tells us we are born into sin. As soon as that little baby is born, you're born into a corrupted world, and we need to receive the forgiveness of Christ. That's why Christ came, so that forgiveness could be given. And unforgiveness is such a serious issue. And that's why this parable, what it caused me to possess was this real holy fear and reverence of God. Because, yeah, we preach so often about the love of God and how unlimited his grace and love and mercy is. But Jesus is just revealing something here. You know, we have to be able to forgive other people. And Jesus says, the Bible says it in several places, if you don't forgive other people, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. It's teaching forgiveness is a way of life. It's teaching we've got to forgive from our heart. It's not just paying lip service. You know, sometimes we think, well, this forgiveness, it's not fair because that person, they're getting away with something. And, you know, a lot of us do think that way until we're the one that needs forgiveness. Then we kind of stop thinking that way. Some people, they struggle to forgive because their mindset is, well, someone has to pay for what they did to me. Someone has to pay. And I can understand that. Someone has hurt you really bad. It could have been a parent. They mistreated you and abused you. It could have been a previous spouse. It could be a current one. It could be a friend. It could be anyone. It could be a boss, an employer. And so I can understand how the pain and the hurt, and therefore we think someone has to pay for the wrong. Well, someone did. And that someone is Jesus. That's why Jesus went to the cross, to pay the price of the everything that all those people did against you. It's not just for you and for when you do wrong to other people that you can receive forgiveness, but it's also for the other people who have wronged you. You know, there's a great movie out called The Shack, and it's a modern-day parable. There are some Christians that they don't like it, but it's a parable, for goodness sake. And it's teaching all about this. It's teaching about forgiveness. And so don't read too much into it. Just read about the importance of we've been forgiven and we need to forgive other people. We need to be letting things go. How do I know? I want to finish with this. How do I know if I need to forgive? And there's three little tests you can apply to yourself. And just close your eyes. Close your eyes or bow your heads or look down just so you're not distracted by any other person. You don't necessarily need to look at the screens right now, but this is for you. This is not for any other person. This is for you right now. First of all is the blame test. Are you blaming anyone for anything or something in your life right now? Are you blaming someone for your unhappiness? Are you blaming someone for the state of your life? Are you blaming someone for the loss of things in your life? And we can blame parents, we can blame family members, we can blame people or bosses, we can blame people who did terrible things to us, but, and this can even be a subconscious thing, but if we're blaming someone because of something that happened to us, okay, that's a sign that there's unforgiveness in our hearts. The second is the bitterness test. Am I keeping score of something? Someone has done something to me. So I filed it away in my mind. And then every time I'm wronged, especially if it's the person who did something to me, I'm going to wait for the opportune time and I'll deal that card. This is probably one of the biggest ones in marriage, because husbands and wives, you will always, you know, in a lifetime, you're going to do things that will hurt one another. But this message is for husbands and wives. You have to learn to let it go. You can't be holding on to bitterness. If you don't, you'll lose your marriage. You will. You will lose your marriage. You might still be legally married, but that marriage, it's over. Thirdly, we've got the behavior test. And this is where, whenever someone does something to you, it causes you to react in a certain way. Whether it's visibly or verbally, you'll just get mad, you'll get angry, and like a machine gun, you'll start spraying all these angry words back at someone. Resentment towards parents, resentment towards bosses or the workplace, could even be resentment towards God. You've been praying for something, it didn't happen, so you kind of feel subconsciously mad toward God. Yeah, these are three tests: the blame test, the bitterness, and the behavior test. Just open up your eyes and look at me for a moment. In life, when it comes to this topic, we only have two options. We can either rehearse it over and over, or we release it. And Jesus is teaching us in this parable, you have to release it. Every time you rehearse it, every time you go back to last month when someone did something, well, hang on, and you're trying to draw more information out of the person. Maybe it's 6 months ago, maybe it's 6 years ago. Suddenly, you remember a moment and it's making you feel mad, so you want to try and draw more information out. That's not, you haven't forgiven. You've got to just let it go. You have to let it go. You have to release it. And until you release it, you are carrying unforgiveness around in your heart, and it will prevent you from ever forgiving people, but it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt your relationships. It's going to hurt everything. But when it is released and you get rid of it once and for all, you can love. That's when you can genuinely love one another. That's when you can forgive one another. And this is what Jesus is talking about in this message. Such a significant message, because we have all been hurt. Some of us have been hurt more than others. Some of us have had things done to us that it's in the context of this world, it's big, it's major. But the only thing we can compare it to is what Jesus did for us upon that cross. And it's still minor compared to Jesus going to the cross and purchasing eternal life for you. Amen? Why don't we just close our eyes? And I just want to pray for people. Lord God, I just pray for every person in this place right now. Jesus, this is such a challenging message, but it's a challenging message because of how great unforgiveness can destroy our lives. And you're seeing lives being destroyed every single day simply because we won't let go of things, we won't release things, and we won't truly forgive. And Jesus, we thank you that you went and died upon that cross so that we could be forgiven. And all we have to do to receive your forgiveness is just believe you and we call upon your name. I thank you, Jesus, that you died for me upon the cross, so I receive your forgiveness. And then you've called us to forgive others. And there can be people here right now. You might need to forgive people who hurt you and did things to you 10, 20, 30 years ago. Could be a parent, could be a family member, could be a boss. It could be life in general. It just hasn't worked out for you. And you feel so angry at life and so bitter at life and so full of resentment because life hasn't been fair to you. My friend, you just need to forgive life. You just need to let it go and just allow your Heavenly Father God to deal with all that pain. And when you do let it go, that's when God can begin to deal with the pain and the hurt. The hurt and the pain is real. You are feeling though that they're real. I'm not denying how hard and how painful it feels, but we must release the unforgiveness.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church Hong Kong podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message and look forward to having you enjoy us next time. God bless.